You're listening to UCB Ireland, serving the church, reaching the nation.
Welcome to this edition of Focus on Friday with myself, Robbie Frawley, here on UCB Ireland. My guests this week, yes, two guests in the studio this week, are from an event that took place here in Ireland just over a month ago, the Hope Ireland celebrations in Dublin and in Belfast, with Dr. Michael Youssef and leading the way. And we thought it would be great to get Barry Weir and to get Pat O'Darren in the studios to talk to us about what happened, how it happened, why it happened, and should it have happened. So it's great to see you boys. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. Good to be here.
It's nice to have you in the studios. And listen, let's find out a little bit about you before we get into the whole, let's sure. Talk a little bit. Pat, we'll start with yourself first, okay? Where are you from?
So, from the capital, the Cork.
Now, some people might have issue with that. Some people just might have issue with that. You know, they'll say, "Well, isn't the kingdom? Yeah, isn't that Kerry?" You know.
Well, I'm married to a Donegal girl. We lived in Dublin, Dundalk, and I'm from Cork, and we're now living on the west coast. So we're almost nationwide.
You're a bit mixed up.
You could say that, Robbie.
Little bit of a mix, yeah.
I can see we're going to have a bit of crack here.
I think we are. So, married to?
To Wendy.
To Wendy. How long have you been married?
Married 26 years. I call her my Donegal catch.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that brilliant? Yeah. No, we're not talking fish fingers, okay? Congratulations to you, 26 years married. And children?
Yeah, three children. Zach, our eldest, he's just back from the Lebanon with the Irish Army. Eli, who lives in England, and then he's 22. And we've got Sienna. She's our 17-year-old, last one at home, doing the leaving cert.
So wow.
She's focusing this year.
That's a real tough time, isn't it, for kids to be focused on exams like that? That's a really difficult time. And a really strange time for parents as well. Mm-hmm. How do you cope with them? How do you lead them through? We've been there years ago. Ours are 31 and 28, you know. So it's like, how do you deal with that now in this day and age? Has it been tough for you and for Senan?
Well, Sienna, I suppose she's like any of the students, you know, the leaving cert, there's a lot of pressure on. But it's like for any of us, I suppose, because we're Christians, we try and cast all our cares on the Lord because he cares for us. So, you know, we try and encourage her to, you do your best, but then you've got to, you know, you do your best, but then you've got to trust the Lord as well.
Yeah.
So it's that encouragement, I suppose. And as parents, we're like her coach.
Of course.
Just like you, Robbie, and you, Barry, with your kids, that we, you know, we want to encourage them. I suppose the fact is we've come through life and we've learned some tips along the way. Yep. And definitely, I know that, say, in the Bible talks about do not worry. And that's because the Lord knows that we do worry. We all do. You know, there's wars, there can be financial problems. And then with students, you know, they have worries too. So hopefully we're trying to encourage her that that God knows the big picture and that, but to do, you know, we need to do everything as unto the Lord. So we're trying to do, so for her, she's doing her school work, the boys are doing their work, and we try and do whatever we do, work at it with all our hearts as working for the Lord, not for men. So
I'm going to come back to you in a minute about that, because I can certainly vouch for that, having worked alongside you the last 18 months. Barry, let's talk a little bit about yourself. You're not from Cork.
No, I'm not. I'm from the Promised Land. I'm from way up north.
Somebody once said, you know, if God had a back garden, it'd be Ireland.
Sure, of course.
Yeah. So where are you from?
I'm from way up north, up just north of Belfast, up in Ballymena.
Okay.
So I'm up there. So that's where we live, and we have our children up there. Different from Patter's situation, where we haven't moved that far, where you've been around quite a bit of Ireland, moving and ministering. But for us, we've been in the same region pretty much our whole lives, ministering and being a part of what God has for us up in those areas. Yep. So I'm married a girl from Ballymena. And we've got two children as well. One's 14 and one's 10. And they're also at that stage of their life where they're going through transitions and exams. Yeah. One moving from primary this season into secondary. And the other one, he'll be going to do his GCSEs, is what we do up the north then for
They're big times, aren't they? Yeah. They are big times for kids. They really are.
Lots of pressure on them in those seasons. But as Patter says, I think it's important that we model something before them. They do their best, but we trust that God's got a purpose for them. And we want to encourage them in that he'll work his purpose out through their lives.
Ballymena, do you remember a band called Split Level?
I don't know.
Ah, there you go. One of my first ever Milton Keynes interviews was with a Northern Ireland band from Ballymena called Split Level. A guy called Adrian was the lead singer.
Okay.
Adrian Thompson. He now lives in America. Such a great, great guy. Great band, actually. Brilliant band. And they were cutting edge in the 80s.
I wouldn't expect anything else coming from Ballymena.
Do you know what? You're right. You know, every time I pass the roundabout there, I think, you know, that's a holy place.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's in New Jerusalem.
Do you know what, guys? There's a whole reason for me to ask those questions, okay? Because we're going to talk about something rather big that happened in Ireland. We're going to talk about people's lives being changed by the power of God's word. Mm. We're going to talk about evangelism. We're going to talk about all these things. But most importantly, I love our listeners to hear about family.
Yeah.
I love our listeners to know who you are, where you come from, and the fact that we have so many people come through the studios, it's like, no, we're just normal people doing what God's called us to do.
Yeah,
yeah.
With normal families who have normal issues at different times of life. And it's good to hear that. It's good to know what's going on.
Idea.
We got involved, of course, with Leading the Way probably 18 months ago when I met Dr. Youssef for the first time and just knew that it was something that we needed, someone we needed in Ireland. But for me, the most exciting thing was having both of you guys step up and say, here I am, Lord, and get employed by Leading the Way for very specific reasons and very specific jobs here, because these things just don't happen. Patter, you were involved with What's the Story?
That's right.
Before this. And is What's the Story still going on?
Yeah. So What's the Story is still going on. And there's plans, the committee have plans to do more What's the Story events in the future. So, if people want to have a look at whatsthestory22.ie,
okay.
That's the website. They can see what was done in the year 2022. And there's plans. They're praying about what to do in the future. So watch the space.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask this question to both of you. Okay, you can answer separately, of course. But why did you get involved with Leading the Way?
I feel for me, I had never heard of Leading the Way or Dr. Youssef, but a friend of mine had contacted me, Mitch from Crown Jesus, and they had asked me if I would consider partnering with this ministry. Their endeavor was to gather the churches of all different backgrounds together and to run a gospel campaign where we would see many souls come to the Lord. The initiative coming from Leading the Way across the world is to see a million souls come to Christ by 2025, which is incredible.
That's a huge thing to look towards.
So having spoken to him and considered it and listened to the heart, I think there were certain things were really important for me in listening to the heart of what was behind Leading the Way, which was that they wanted to partner with the churches here in Ireland.
Yeah.
And they wanted to come together. They didn't want to come in with this entourage and just present what they wanted to do and leave. They wanted to partner with the churches, have good conversation with the churches and listen to what's happening locally on the ground within the churches and then do something together to reach the people across this nation. I thought that was incredible. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that was really important for me in the process of that was, what was shared with me was that having met and going around and meeting with local church pastors and if it was something that didn't suit them or it wasn't right for the season for them to come on board with, still try and find an opportunity to bless and encourage that ministry or that church. And I was so encouraged to hear that coming from the ministry.
And Patty, yourself, what about yourself? Why did you get involved?
Yeah, so I was invited, myself and Wendy, my wife, to go to London. We're Leading the Way. We're having a 20-year, they'd been ministering in the UK for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we went over just with an open mind. And about this ministry, and we were just impressed, I guess, by the humility, you know, that this was a kind of a international ministry, but they had a great humility, and meeting Dr. Yusuf and speaking to him and hearing his voice, hearing his heart, shall I say, I just thought, you know, he's a real humble man.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that I think this could be a really good fit with us here in Ireland, because I think a humble heart God can use.
Right.
And I just thought, so Dr. Yusuf is an Egyptian. So he's from Egypt originally. Mm-hmm. He went to Beirut. He went to Australia to study, married his wife there, and then went to the States. And I remember thinking, wow, like in Ireland now, like if I think of, say, Listoon Varna, or I think of Dublin, like all across the country, we've got so many people from other nationalities.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, you know, not just us Irish, but for international people, I think Dr. Yusuf could be, he could speak to any nationality, really. And I thought it gives a really good international aspect of that. And That's how we got involved. And then I suppose the committees, like other people came together and had put this idea forward. There was a few people who were trying to see, you know, would this idea work in Ireland? And that, one of them was you, Robbie. And in fact, I blame you for all this, actually, Robbie. I do. Seriously. Like,
it's your fault, Robbie.
I'm leaving.
You were, no, but you were, you had a heart for this before any of us. And you were, I think you had come across this ministry. So then our job was, I got involved as a coordinator for the Republic, and then they were looking for someone to be the coordinator for the North.
I had to find someone.
No, Barry, you were the right man for the job. And so delighted then to have committees came together, and representatives from, you know, various churches, and they prayed and felt to call it Hope Ireland in both the South and the North, that we would invite Dr. Yusuf over to our country to be a speaker, that we'd have a big event, that it would be a celebration of hope. So it was called Hope Ireland. And we definitely found that, like, you know, as we said, with wars, with struggles, financial struggles that people have, a real lack of hope. And hope was what we wanted to tell people. There is God, there is hope.
Faith Inspiring Radio. This is UCB Ireland.
Welcome to Focus on Friday. This week, my guests are Padder and Barry from Leading the Way and Hope Celebration Ireland. In the first part of the program there, we were just talking about how you got involved and why you got involved. And you were saying there, Padder, about hope. Everybody needs hope. Of course, that's why we landed on the name Hope. But there's a bigger thing going on here. And I think it could be, I've heard this, I'm not a statistician. Can you say that word? Anyway, I think there is a bigger thing here in the sense that working together.
Yeah.
Mm. Barry, you've got a real sense of this, a sense of unity across the island.
Right. This is something that I found in going around the churches, of just going around and meeting with different leaders from church backgrounds and ministry backgrounds, the hunger for the church to come together, which was incredible for me, that the churches from days gone by maybe weren't as keen to work together, but there's a hunger, a deep hunger in this time that we're going through, that the church wants to come together and do something for the kingdom. There's a real interest to see souls won and add it to the church together. I feel that that's an interesting season for us that we're currently in. And there's a lot of excitement now, even, what are we, 5 weeks off the back of the event, and there's some fantastic relationships have been established across different church backgrounds that beforehand wouldn't have met up, and now some great relationships are being established and praying for one another, mm-hmm. and believing God to do great things in each other's churches, and that ultimately we could see something amazing happen here on this island.
I want to, if I may, we will talk about the length of time it took to put all this together, because it didn't just happen. Mm. It was a lot of hard work. Mm. And for you two guys as well, a huge amount of commitment, huge amount of travel, a huge amount of time away from your families. Mm. Now, some people might say, well, that's what you were employed to do. Mm. But actually, it's much more than that. Mm. But I'm gonna ask this question. Was it worth it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, like, for like, as Barry was saying, like, the like what came out of our celebration? Well, like, there were several things. One of the things was this idea of unity, as Barry was speaking on there. So, like, where Christians get together and where we have unity. Psalm 133 says there's a blessing when the brothers dwell together in unity.
Yeah.
So when we're together.
Yeah.
So that's in our local churches, but also when there's a time of us Christians working together. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we were working together, like, say, in Dublin, across Dublin and wider. And then not only that, but it was a north-south thing. Like, it wasn't just Hope Dublin, or Hope Northern Ireland. It was Hope Ireland.
Yeah.
And it was great, Barry, wasn't it, to see, like, you guys in the north.
It was incredible to have the Dublin event happened first, and it was incredible to have the guys from the north coming down to support the event in the south. And I thought there was some, that just said something to me about the heart for the island, that we wanted to support each other's event, as it were, and support that we would see, not just the event, but seeing those added to the kingdom and praying together and believing God for the Dublin event. And then on the back of that, when it happened up in Belfast, then the people then from the south end coming up and supporting the event in Belfast, which was incredible. I was so encouraged by that. And that definitely was a big highlight for me as well.
I found it was a bit funny. I was at the entrance of the Belfast event, and I was welcoming people to Belfast, saying, "Welcome to Belfast." And they were going, "Well, that's Rich from a Cork man."
Funny, they did say that to me right now.
People are going to turn around and say, "I was there, or I saw the promotion, or I saw about it, or I saw it online. That must have cost a fortune." And actually, it probably did. Now, I'm not party to what it cost. I don't even know whether you guys are party to what it cost. But I want to say this for leading the way. They paid the bill.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, there was a collection taken at both events if people wanted to get involved in mission, but it wasn't a forced thing in any way, shape or form. And the reason I'm saying that is because actually you touched on this earlier on, Barry, with their investment and wanting to get in with the churches and wanting to meet and support the churches. And Pater, you were mentioning about how humble a man he is, Dr. Youssef. Mm-hmm. But I found with the organization, yes, there's an organization way of running things. But actually, they never asked us for money.
No, never once. Yeah.
Never once. They never came and said, "We're going to do this. Oh, and by the way, you owe us this amount of money." Mm-hmm. They said, "We're going to come and do this, because we're coming to Ireland." Mm-hmm. And it was quite remarkable.
Yeah. And in fact, the offerings that we did lift,
That
was a decision made by the local committees here, both in Ireland,
Belfast and Dublin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was, and I think that's important for people to understand that, that there was an investment in our nation.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
From America, yes. From Michael Youssef and his organization. Mm-hmm. But it was an investment in our nation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to say, Robbie, leading the way, it really is an international organization.
Mm.
So, like, with the calls I'm on with the teams, there's people from other nations as well who are involved in leading the way. And it's just like, and they've got people who love the ministry, and they of their own free will, they, just like any charity, you know, you support cancer, or you support different organizations, and people believe in this, and we're really blessed that they decided this international organization. So it's not just American money or an American organization, it's an international,
it's global funding.
Global, exactly.
Yeah.
And we feel really blessed that they would choose Ireland to really come and bless us with this.
Yeah. And Ireland, in this celebrations department that we're working in, Ireland was the first time they'd done this outside of the US.
Yes.
So they got to come here first.
That's right.
And
I
was so encouraged by that when we met in Stormont, as we gathered the leaders together, and just to hear the desire and the and the real heart to see souls won on this island from Dr. Yusuf, as he shared with the local leaders, and to hear the passion of a man in his mid-70s, still as passionate and still as upbeat and encouraged to see people added to the kingdom. And that was so encouraging and inspiring for
me. He's remarkable, isn't he?
It really was.
And he is, as you say, he's a very humble man. And it's almost like from humble beginnings comes this. And here we are in a situation where we're 5 weeks on now from two major events that have not happened in our nation ever in terms of unity like this, which is so important to hear. We will hear before the program's over, we're going to hear stories in the next section. So I want you to prepare your hearts for those stories, because there are some amazing stories to come out of what happened. But it really was an opportunity to see God touch lives. And that's non-Christians and Christians alike.
Right.
So many people touched by a message that was predominantly an evangelistic message.
It was.
But so many people touched. Where do you think it goes from there?
As in, where does the...
We have an event, we do an event, we do the Dublin event, it was great, hurrah, everybody goes home, and same in Belfast, but where do you go from there?
Well, first up, there's a commitment from leading the way that whenever they run the event, as it were, celebrations, off the back of that, there's a commitment to stay in that community until 95% of those that make decisions for Christ are encouraged and settled into the local church. That support is going on, and it's, at this moment there's great partnership between the churches back and forward, supporting those people that have made decisions to get connected into families and nurtured and looked after as they begin their journey in Christ. And so that's the starting point of that.
So they've not walked away and gone home and gone, good luck, see you lads.
No.
That's right. And it's been a great joy to see that, where people came to the event, they made a decision to follow Jesus, and now they are going through with that. They're now followers of Jesus and joining local Christian communities, local Christian churches. And the ripple effect of that has gone is going on, which is very encouraging. I know we'll touch on that later.
And just to add to that, see the spectrum of people that came to Christ, both at the event and pre the event as well, and also off the back of the event, but to see the types of churches and the backgrounds across the whole spectrum that people have now got connected into, it's incredible to see that through one event, both in Belfast and in Dublin, to see the connection into those local churches, Pentecostal backgrounds as well as right through to Reformed backgrounds. It's been incredible and so encouraging. And I think it does pose the question of, where do we go? What's next?
Yeah.
I think that's an encouraging thing for where we are at here as the church in Ireland.
And that's probably the bigger response in terms of, you know, oh, let's do another event. That's not necessarily the right response.
Yes.
But where do we go as the church in Ireland? What do we do together?
Yeah.
To make sure that we don't lose any inertia or any movement that's already begun.
Yes.
Across our island.
Yeah.
And yes, it took Americans to come in and kind of kickstart the engine.
I do say, I think on top of that, Dr. Michael Yusuf, not knowing him beforehand, but having looked into his ministry and have read some of his books, I feel that where his line of ministry is so straight down the middle, it's very difficult for churches of all different backgrounds not to be able to come on board with, because very straight to preaching the gospel and keeping simple truth and not holding back and not wavering on the truth of the gospel. And I think that unites churches and allows churches to come on board together around the purpose of seeing people added to the kingdom and then encouraged into the local church. And for me, that is the key thing in the midst of what united us and got the churches on board together, was what was on his life and was allowing us to then go forward with what God is doing through Hope Ireland.
That's good, Barry. And it, you know, it also, I think it was an encouragement, Robbie, for us to reach out.
No.
And it definitely reaching out, like sometimes we feel that the environment can be very hostile, but like God is still reaching out. Like the message of hope is absolutely relevant.
Yes.
And I think for us as Christians to this was an encouragement to us to continue reaching out. And so what this event was, a big event. We had it in the convention center in Dublin, but it's an encouragement to reach out locally, and to know that God is still encouraging people, that there is hope, and that people are responding to that. And I think one of the takeaways from this is an encouragement for us all to be a little bit bolder and be have a little bit more courage. That would be a good follow-on takeaway for all of us, I think, from this.
UCB Ireland, serving the church, reaching the nation.
This is Focus on Friday with myself, Robbie Frawley, right here on UCB Ireland. And my guests today, both of them, Barry Weir, Pat O'Darren, from Hope Ireland. That's the Hope Celebration Ireland, Hope Ireland. What are you going to shout there, boys?
Hope Ireland Celebration.
Yeah.
You see, I always got it wrong. In the 18 months of being involved, I could never... I always got it. And very... What's the website?
So it's hopeireland.ie. That's hopeireland.ie.
Okay. We'll talk about
that. H-O-P-E.
He's from Cork. I wouldn't worry about it. We'll talk about that later on. Listen, we've been talking about, you know, the event, why we did it, why you're involved there, your families, all sorts of things. Now let's talk about the legacy of the event. Let's talk about what happened at both venues, some stories that have come out. And I'm just going to let you tell your stories, guys. You've got stories to tell. So, Barry, you're going to go first, believe. Yes. I'm seeing the pointing. You're going to go first.
Yeah, there's so many stories, it's just hard to know where to begin. One of the stories I think that is so encouraging off the back of the event was, as we lead up to these events, there's lots of prayer gatherings and there's training, evangelism training, to help churches and help those along the way. And at one of those gatherings in particular, there was... Quite a number of people met at one of the churches, and at the end of the training you get the opportunity to sign up and say, I would love to be an encourager at the event, which is to say, at the event, whenever people respond, that you're going to be the person that's going to go alongside that person and help them on the next steps. So they will have already been led to the Lord from the stage, but then you'll come alongside and just help them with, off the back of that, here's a decision you've made. I want to reiterate the decision you've made, support them, pray them, and get them connected up. Just
right.
Make some connections with them. So one of the individuals that had went through the training, that one of the pastors had said to me that he was, he thought this certain fellow would have got involved and signed up to be a part of the training. And he said, I really feel that I need to reach out to him and encourage him to get on board, because he's got so much in his life. He's been through a lot. God has been good to him, and he actually is an evangelist. He has something on his life, and I feel I really want to reach out to him. So he reaches out to this fella and invites him to come on board, and he was so encouraged by the pastor just contacting him, just to say, look, I see this in your life. And I think that is something in particular that's very typical for us here in Ireland, that we need encouraged, that gold within us be drawn out. And for this in particular fellow, he needed to be encouraged to see that someone's seen something in him. He'd been through some stuff, and at this point in his journey hadn't went any further with it. So he made a decision to get on board at the event. So he signs up, he's at the event, and he's a little nervous on the way to the event, and he prays that morning before the event, and the Lord puts this fella, his name on his heart. He says, I'm going to go, I'm going to do that. And so he arrives at the event, and as the altar call sure went forward, this man comes forward and he says to him, is your name Adrian? And he says, yes, my name is Adrian. He says, the Lord put your heart, your name in my heart this morning. And so he got the privilege of leading that man to the Lord.
Wow.
And not just did that encourage the man that committed his life to Christ,
of course,
it also encouraged this man that had signed up to say, look, I'm going to do this. I've been encouraged into that. And just to see what God is doing as people step up and step out of their comfort zones into what God is doing. Mm-hmm. That's one of the stories for me that, wow, that was so encouraging.
It is amazing how God goes before us. You know, Scripture is very clearly, and that the Lord himself will go before you. That is Deuteronomy 31. Mm-hmm. The Lord himself will go before you. And I that just blows me away, that God's going before us in everything we do. And Pater, what about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, there's, I suppose, joy. I remember, I suppose, big picture, I thought, it's so great to see so many nationalities respond mm-hmm. and so many people. I know that Dr. Yusuf, it just... I suppose his Egyptian background, he resonates with like people from Islamic backgrounds, different church backgrounds. And it was just great to see like almost like United Nations there in Dublin responding. I was talking to a pastor in Dublin, Joe, just recently, and he was just saying how encouraged he was. He was giving me some examples of people who came along to the event. There was 88 people in Dublin who went forward to receive Jesus, to become followers of Christ. And he was just saying there was, he gave me an example of two people who had made a decision for Jesus at the event, who are now coming to his church. One, a Dublin guy, another was a girl, I think she was from an African country, and another person, and just how they've started coming along to his church, and people are starting to become Christians. And so much so, he was encouraged that they have a discipleship group now. And these people are growing in Jesus. So it's not just a once-off commitment. Leading the Way's ideas is feed them into local churches. And he was just so delighted to see, wow, you know, that this is such a great thing to do, you know, to reach out, that Dr. Yusuf gave the gospel message and people responded to it. And locally, here's the effects. Another cameo, if I could use that word, or a little example. There was a lady, I don't like to say Catholic or Protestant or this kind of thing, but from a traditional church down the country. And she had been praying about this for some, that she was looking for something like this for a long time. And she, I think she saw one of the posters or something, and about the Hope Ireland event, and said, that's exactly what I'm looking for. She came up to the event with her husband, and he went forward to receive Jesus, and he's become a real follower of Jesus.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And like, that was like a, I don't know, three and a half hour drive commitment to get to this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I suppose, like at the very beginning, Robbie, we were wondering, you know, do we do a big event, or is there a place for these big events? And I know Noel Kenny, a local pastor in Dublin, he himself became a Christian at a big event like this, but it was like 30 years ago or something.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, and there hasn't been something on this scale, I think, for a while. So we had it in Dublin, we had it in Belfast, it was September the 1st. If people missed out on it as well, do go to the Hope Ireland website, hopeireland.ie, and they'll be able to see clips from Belfast and Dublin. And we had great testimonies on the night to that singer that you had in Belfast, Leah McFall.
Leah McFall,
Oh, wow. That was just
incredible.
I really encourage people, if you missed out, you can still see that. And if you haven't made a commitment to Jesus, please do so. We've got on the Hope Ireland website, there's a little link about True Peace with God that Dr. Yusuf has written. You can see that and follow that through.
Another incredible story I'd love to share quickly.
Yeah, by all means.
Is there was, as Dr. Yusuf put out the appeal at the end and invited people to come forward, there was this man sitting and he lifted his hand. He didn't go forward as such, but he raised his hand. He came along with his friend to this event. He responded by lifting his hand. And then after the guys had been leading people to Christ, they came down to him in his seat and ministered with him. And they recognized he was troubled in his spirit. Something's going on in his world. And they got to just encourage him and just to pray with him. And they could see, as they prayed with him and as he made the decision to hand his life over to Christ, they could see peace coming onto his life. Mm. They could see incredible peace coming upon him. Now, he's been on a journey since that, and it's been great to hear the stories as the ministry has stayed connected with the churches that this man has been plugged into. And it's been great to see how, off the back of this now, 5 weeks later, he had been separated off from his wife and his son, and his wife has now invited him back into the family home. He's now reunited with his child. Mm-hmm. And just now, I've just heard actually yesterday that they'd started marriage counselling, which is incredible just to see what God is doing in the hearts of people that are hungering after. And this came from seeing an event that was called Hope. and going along to an event that said hope, but this man just looking for hope and found true hope in the person of Jesus. And I think that's incredible, and it's exciting for what is going to happen now through the seed of God's word into that family as this man goes on the journey of becoming more like him. So many phenomenal things. Another really encouraging one I found was there's a couple of really young people that came along to the event and committed their lives to Christ and have been encouraged back into their local church. One of them's in a Methodist church, and the other one's in a Presbyterian church, and their families don't attend church, but these young people are dragging their parents along to church.
Amazing.
And it's encouraging to hear that the minister's saying, look, they're dragging their parents out to church, and the parents are being committed to coming along to church with them because they want to support their children. Who knows what God's going to do even off the back of what has already been sown in the hearts of those people that have made decisions. Incredible stuff.
And Barry, you guys were saying in the north as well that during the training, the come and see events and things that we had, that there was people who had become Christians
Phenomenal. As we go through the training, then we encourage people in this initiative called Come and See, where we encourage people to write names down of friends and family members and those people around about them that maybe God has placed on their hearts. And as they continue, then there's a tear off. They can copy out the names onto another list. They hand it into their local church to partner with them in prayer, and they pray at home then for their friends as well. One of the churches had told me that some of the people that they had done this with, they already had seen 12 people come to Christ before the event just by praying and believing God for those lives. And those people that got saved, then where they were at was they invited people to come along to the event with them. So not only had they came to Christ, but then they were on board with inviting others to come along to the event and encouraging them on into the church as well. Incredible.
It's really important to let people know what happens and why it happens, but also that it doesn't stop when the door closes on the venue.
That's right.
That in many cases, these things actually, like we were saying, Deuteronomy 31, the Lord himself goes before you, even in the preparation, God's before you. And after that God is still calling people to himself. People who may have been at the event and didn't respond on the day may have responded since, just because God continues to move.
I've got a story for that one as well. There was one of the local pastors that said that they had invited some friends to come along, and they came along to the event, but they didn't make a decision for Christ at the event. And the pastor had spoke to them and asked them, like, how did you feel? And they said it was a tremendous event, really enjoyed the music and enjoyed the fella speaking is the language they used.
The fella speaking,
But the following week after that, two of the fellows committed their life to Christ in the church. Just, you know, it doesn't stop at the event. God's still working, and he's continuing to minister even off the back of that. And even last night I was at an event, a prayer gathering, as we've continued to do some prayer gatherings. Last night was at an event, and one of the people there had seen the highlights clip on YouTube and then got attached in and found out what was happening last night, came along on board last night, and is on a journey in her faith. And just by being there, it's just taking steps by steps as they go on their journey for God.
That's encouraging.
Faith Inspiring Radio. This is UCB Ireland.
This is Focus on Friday with myself, Robbie Frawley, and it's been a pleasure to have Barry Weir. And I do apologise, I've been calling him the wrong name all the time. It's Pater Drinan.
That's right.
You see, I got it right this time.
Well, it's all Drinan in Irish, but anyway, we won't get into that.
We're not going to get into that one now. We just won't get into that one. There's always one in there.
There is.
There's always one. You know, when we brought you on board, we thought this is a good man, but we're not too sure now. We're really not. It's been great to have you in. It really is, and it's been great to talk about, you know, the Hope celebrations a month on, you know, 5 weeks on, you know, and what's happened and how it's happened and how you've been involved, and there's lots of things that we want to touch base on before we have to wrap up the program. But the first one I want to talk about is stats. Everybody hates stats, but you love them, Barry, don't you?
Yeah, I think stats tell you some things, and you know, I think it gives you an idea of where we are at. And one of the things was the stats was very interesting for us and for me in the process of this was there were 36% of those that made commitments for Christ that had not been connected into any church.
That's incredible. 36%
of the people that said yes to Christ had no connection with church until they made a decision and then we introduced them. So the question then starts to come to my mind, so where did they come from? How did they get here? So I started to think large events takes me down the way of people who don't attend church and are not connected to church. They're used to going to concerts. They're used to going to comedy shows. They're used to going to larger gatherings where they're anonymous, as it were, but they can hear and they can listen and they can be a part of. So it's an interesting stat to look into and to ask questions around as the church, as we see people that are looking to find hope in Christ. So I think that was an interesting one. I think there's a lot more questions to be asked around that.
Yeah, that's the statistic.
Yeah. So 36% made a decision that had no connection in with church. So advertisement obviously had a big part in that.
Yeah.
Invitations. Yeah. There's lots of things around that I think that are encouraging things for us to look at as we continue to think of how do we see more people on this island one for Christ. I think there are other ways around that. Yes, we've seen many other great things through inviting them to small groups, inviting them into church services. But I think that there's still an opportunity, and I still feel that through even this statistic, there is a place for the large gathering, as we see through these stats.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And it's a good thing as well to be able to see that there is something. We live in a world of stats. We live in a world of information. We live in a world of what's the reach. We live in all that world now with social media. But it's good to know that actually it's working. Yeah. It worked. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's only 36%. It's 36% of those who responded had no connection with church, right, which is incredible. Which actually means that actually 64% had a connection with church but hadn't got a connection with Jesus.
Right.
And now they do.
Yeah.
And now they do. So it works. And to have stats, you can go, actually, we see the fruit. We see what's happening. So we know that we can do, not the same again, but we know that we can do something and trust and hope that people's lives are going to be changed.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we've seen it, which is quite remarkable. There are other events being planned as well across Europe in 2024 and beyond, yeah?
Yeah, so Dr. Yusuf's going to be speaking, well, actually in Cairo.
Next week.
Yeah, that's right.
He's next week in Cairo.
So, yeah, so I suppose, Robbie, if we had some actions, we'd love if people would pray for Dr. Yusuf.
Right.
Like, obviously, he's from Egypt. He's got a heart for Egypt. But he also has a heart, obviously, for an international reach for many countries. And we're very thankful for our country. Mm. But I guess with the evangelist, the one who's speaking, there's kind of a spiritual cost, and it would be great if we could just if people would pray for him personally and his wife Elizabeth, just to keep him up in prayer, because you know it's like when Katie Taylor goes into the ring, and you know, there's a cost.
Not and, long now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but Shinsuke Lella. But we have. But that would be great to pray for Dr. Yusuf in Egypt. There's also Vera Cruz in Mexico, which is coming up.
And then Megan as well.
Yeah. So there's several events being planned and that he's going to be going for, leading the way, or also just exploring other places, just really leading of the Lord as to what countries or what areas that he's to minister in. So again, we value prayer for the Lord's leading on that.
And are open to invitations from churches and regions as well, and then pray through them and see what the way the Lord leads then in the days to come.
Yeah.
There's something going off inside me as we're talking here about prayer and the fact that, you know, those people who were at either Dublin or Belfast who were Christian and know the Lord and came and went, what a great event. Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility. Barry touched on it earlier on in the hour about the fact that Ireland was the first outside of the United States.
Right.
And it was the litmus test to see what happens. If we were the first outside of the United States, I'd like to put this out to our listeners right now. If we were first to do this, then actually we know what happened and how it happened, and we know the struggles and we know the spiritual battles that go on. Let's be the first to stand up for our brothers and sisters in other countries and pray for them. Mm-hmm. And if you want to find out more about what's happening, you can go to our website, which is...
hopeireland.ie, hopeireland.ie.
Okay, you can also go to Leading the Way as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's leadingtheway.org.
LTW.org.
LTW.org. You can find out, you can keep up to date with what's happening. If somebody has invested in us We talk about this a lot on UCB about how did you become a Christian? Somebody took time to invest in you.
Yeah.
Somebody took time to talk about Jesus to you. The Leading the Way team and you two took time to invest in our nation to hear the gospel from Dr. Michael Youssef. Let's pray for Cairo. Mm, yeah. There's your hook. It's next week. Yeah. Let's pray for Cairo. That's we've right. been there. We've seen it. We've done it. We've got the T-shirt. Mm-hmm. Now let's pray that God opens doors in Cairo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For Dr. Youssef in his home nation. That the Lord will move, and there'll be great numbers come out of that. Yeah, great responses come out of it.
Yeah.
And you might be thinking he's like a bit wacky, he's off the wall, but I do think there is a responsibility that we have, being first, to actually now continue that and pray for those who are next.
Mm, yeah.
I'm just going to put that out to our listeners out there right now. Just pray. Please, for Dr. Youssef and the team, and pray for us here as well. And for you two guys, as we come to a close, so what's next for you two guys? Are you still wrapping this up?
Yeah, we're still in the following up process. So that means for us over the next, I suppose, from now till the end of the year, we'll be on that. And then we're praying about what's ahead after that. But we suspect the Lord has lots ahead.
Yeah, there's lots of great things that God is doing right now and follow it up and encouraging the church, and like some of the prayer gatherings that we're running to keep the churches connected together have been incredible. Mm. Absolutely incredible, just seeing the churches come together and lifting the name of Jesus together as a united church and believing for miracles done, miraculous signs and wonders done in this land for his name.
Unity is good, isn't it? You know, you guys need to spend more time with us.
That's true.
Somebody's going to offer somebody a cup of coffee soon, and they're going to have a chat about this one. Guys, it's been great to have you in the studios. Thank you for taking the time.
Thanks for having us.
From somebody who was involved at the beginning, I want to say thank you to both of you for your commitment. I want to say thank you to your families for releasing you to do what you did. And for the investment both of you gave to this island. And you worked together, even though you worked separately at times, but you worked with the same cause, with the same passion and the same heart. And because of that work, we saw two great events in Dublin and in Belfast. Mm. And they will not be forgotten for a long time. And it takes people to put the hand up and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." So thank you to both of you and your families for putting your hand up. And thanks for being here and just sharing a month on your thoughts on the celebrations.
Thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
Guys, God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Robbie.